And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca. It is I, Mike, the Birdman Dodd, returning briefly from my medical hiatus. That's right. It's been a while since I've been out here on Rad, but I am coming back on some Geek Cash Radio stuff and some This Week in Geek stuff.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Of course, guys, you couldn't expect me to not come back and talk about EA and BioWare's Mass Effect Andromeda on the Xbox One. And of course, I got to give you my review and my thoughts on that game as I'm over 90 hours into that game. I'm still not complete, if you can believe that, but I know enough to talk about everything because I've read ahead, I've done everything I possibly can. Probably going to beat the game not too long after this review, but I wanted to give you my thoughts and impressions on it while it was still relatively fresh in my mind. However, speaking of things that are fresh in my mind, I want to tell you about a giveaway we're actually running between GCRN and ThisWeekInGeek.net. If you email feedback at thisweekingeek.net, you can win a gaming Logitech G810 Orion Spectrum mechanical keyboard. This thing is one of the most beautiful keyboards I've ever had the pleasure of using. It lights up. It looks super cool. I actually have this thing running the color wave pattern on my computer, and it looks so cool. Plus, it can load gaming profiles, so certain keys will light up. So whether you're playing, say, Defense of the Ancients or even Mass Effect itself, there are gamer profiles loaded already into the keyboard for you. And plus, you can customize it, so if you're into that sort of thing, you can do that as well. But we are here to talk about one of the most, turns out, controversial games of 2017 thus far. Definitely game that's kind of splitting gamers right down the middle right now, whether they love it or hate it. And as of this recording on Tuesday, April 4th, there's actually a series of patch notes which BioWare has released, which will hopefully address the big elephant in the room, which I'm going to briefly talk about, and that's the facial animations and the animations in general, but I'll get to that when I get to that. So my initial impressions of Mass Effect Andromeda, this game came out on the 21st of March, and like I said, I've put about 90 hours into it. And I hated the first 15 hours of this game. And that's mostly spent on the first planet, Eos, or even the first three planets, which you open up. Because the first game or the first part of this game, rather, was a big part of EA Access, where you could explore the first 10 hours of the game. And unfortunately, EA and BioWare decided to give you the exposition heavy, having a lot of the stuff locked off part of the game first. And I don't think that was representative of the Mass Effect Andromeda experience. As I've sat through the game longer and longer, the game actually has grown on me, though I will be upfront about this. This is definitely not my favorite Mass Effect game so far. That honor still belongs to Mass Effect 2. And while Andromeda does a lot of things right, I also do apologize for the noise, as I am recording on my iPad, so you might as well, in your head, I'm communicating across the mass relays, across Geth space. Now that's enough in-universe joking, but no, back to all seriousness here. The first half of this game, or at least the first couple hours of this game, depending on how you approach it, are some of the worst I've played in some time. And it's not because the gameplay itself is bad. It's just that it's just not very entertaining. And that's the problem with this game. Once the game opens up and you can explore more than just the first three planets, you get some of the more interesting side quests and more things open up to you. Basically, once the game stops holding your hand in tutorial mode, things get damn cool damn fast. And I will say that a lot of the side missions here and some of the loyalty missions, some of them rival Mass Effect 2 in terms of coolness. And definitely the writing in some of these gets really interesting as well. And I guess that's going to lead me into my first point here, where I talk about gameplay / storyline. So the storyline for Mass Effect Andromeda is it takes place 600 years after the end of Mass Effect 2, more or less. So before the Reapers show up and Commander Shepard, blah, blah, blah. So you are sent to the Andromeda Galaxy as part of the Initiative, spending 600 years crossing dark space. And you wake up aboard the human Ark Hyperion, and you play as either Scott or Sarah Ryder, and your father, Alec, is what's known as a Pathfinder. Basically, these people that would go out, explore the Helios Cluster in the Andromeda Galaxy to find suitable, quote-unquote, golden worlds, worlds suitable for supporting our type of life, in this case, human. And of course, as always, something goes wrong. There's this dark energy phenomena known as the Scourge, which basically tears stuff apart. And basically, wacky adventures happen. You find out there's another part of the Initiative known as the Nexus, which is where basically your version of the Citadel, it's been damaged. There's been a mutiny. A lot of people have lost hope, thinking that we're going to die out here because there's no places to live. Food's running out. There's power shortages. Everything has gone wrong. But luckily, now that you've showed up, stuff can finally start resuming to normal. And that's basically how the game goes. You're trying to find a new home for humanity, but also the Salarians, the Turians, and the Asari. And you do run into them over the course of the game. And as more things open up, you run into the Angara, who is the new squad member, Jahl. He's a member of the new alien species. I think of them as kind of like the Twi'leks from Star Wars with the head tail sort of thing. But overall, the story, it's kind of cliched. You can see some of the plot twists coming a mile away, which kind of takes away from the experience. Although in the back end of the game, it does really open up in terms of what this is setting up. And I think BioWare has said this is a standalone game. But if it does open up the possibility of the Andromeda Galaxy, then I'm very excited to see what happens. Because one of the things that I want to make clear is this isn't the Andromeda Galaxy you're exploring. You're exploring a star cluster. And a good way, excuse me, to think about this might be to put it in perspective of Star Trek. Star Trek has different quadrants of space. Like there's the Alpha Quadrant, Beta Quadrant, Delta Quadrant, etc., etc. So you're only exploring a certain part of the galaxy because that's all that your FTL engines can probably get to because there are no mass relays here. So you can't just jump across the galaxy because there's no convenient shortcuts across there. So I do like how this game is, quote-unquote, smaller in scope, but deeper in breadth, if that makes any more sense to you. because there are only six planets, I think, that you can really explore, but there's a lot to do on them, which is actually rather cool because there's a lot of things to explore. And exploration is sort of where this story takes a lot of its real charm, is finding out new things about the Angara, finding the politics of the Nexus and the Initiative. There's even kind of a murder mystery, which kind of happens about halfway through the game. It's an optional side quest, but you do find out what was the Initiative's true purpose, and then you do find out a lot more about why are we here, and maybe there's a lot more to it than what's initially going on. And I like to think that was pretty obvious from the get-go. If you're a fan of the Mass Effect lore, it does come across as, I'd say, well, duh. But for those of you that aren't necessarily initiated in the ways of Commander Shepard, there are some pretty big hints early on as to why we are here, so to speak. But overall, though, I think one of the strengths of this game, despite some of the weaker writing in the overall narrative, some of the character relationships are really well done. Like, I'm actually a big fan of some of the squad mates in this game, because some of them come across as a lot more interesting than, say, Ashley or Caden from the first Mass Effect game, in Liam Costa and Cora. But I think probably my favorite squad member is the Asarian known as PB, who's, I think the game describes her as a rogue academic or something akin to that. There's also a Krogan warlord who joins you named Drak, who's over 1,500 years old. I didn't think Krogan could live that long, so that's actually kind of neat how they add more to the narrative to that as well. Plus some of the romance options. I always play the game as a female rider, and I'm pursuing a lesbian relationship with one of the characters on the ship right now. And it's cute. It's cute and well done. I will say that. I do like what I'm getting. And speaking of the romance options, one of the things that's going to be addressed in the upcoming patch for Mass Effect Andromeda is they're going to add more gay or potentially other LGBTQ-friendly romance options for some of the characters. So I'm rather happy to see that. It's definitely going to encourage me to do a second playthrough of this game when I get a chance. But in terms of how things will all shake out narrative-wise, I like the fact that we're not fighting the Reapers. I like the fact that we do have a new threat in the form of the Ket. As to why they're doing what they're doing, well, like I said, that opens up towards the ass end of the game, and it does bring new possibilities as to what we're going to find in Helios and Andromeda as a whole. Gameplay, let's talk about that. So like I said, combat in this game is fun. It's a lot more vertical than it was previously because you do have the ability to jump jet around and you can boost around the battlefield. Plus, because there is no strict class system in this game, you don't have to worry about being stuck as, say, a soldier or an infiltrator or an engineer. You can mix and match abilities via the profile system, which is unlocked fairly early on in the game, which is something that I pretty much stuck as a soldier the entire game, but I did take the tech ability Incinerate so I can basically set people on fire, but also launch them in the air with my ability of Concussive Shot, which is finally useful in one of these games. I always found that ability as a soldier to be next to useless. However, one thing to note about gameplay about this is you can't take individual control of your squad mates like you could before. So you can't tell Jowl to, say, turbocharge that Remnant Observer. You can't tell PB to biotic lift someone. But the squad AI is smarter than previous games, especially if you play at a higher difficulty. It seems to be less stupid, but I do miss the ability to issue individual commands because then I could biotic combo everything on the field, but that's neither here nor there. Puzzles in this game, there are some jumping puzzles, which aren't annoying. There are these puzzles you will come across fairly early on in the game, and they are Remnant Glyphs. They are the most annoying piece of Sudoku crap you can possibly imagine, and I hated doing every single one of them. And I know some people love Sudoku. I'm definitely not one of them, highly suggest getting the guides from Prima, which will just tell you the solutions, or look online, because it's a frustrating experience at best. In terms of gameplay, is there anything else that's really worth mentioning? Planet exploration is done similar to Mass Effect 1, where you swoop into a system. You may be able to scan a planet for anomalies and whatnot. Sometimes you'll find a wrecked satellite or a ship or something similar. But it always forces you into this first-person view. I love living on a busy road, folks. Once again, I do apologize. Of having it swoop in. And I think in the new patch notes, you're going to be able to disable that because it just becomes annoying. Actually, one thing about that, I do find the science in this game, in terms of what it tries to explain to you in terms of space, it's a little better and it's a little worse than previous games. What I mean by a little better, you'll enter a system and your second in command or your co-pilot, Suvi, makes a mention at one point. He's like, wow, we're in a stellar nursery. This is where stars are born. Or she'll make a comment like, wow, that's a blue giant. We don't see very many of those. And for those of you that are astronomy fans like I am, you know things about stellar nurseries and blue giants. You'll even talk about neutron stars and stuff like that. In fact, the area where you are in Helios has a black hole near it. And wherever you are in the cluster, you can see it, because where you are, in spatially anyway, you'd be able to see this black hole because its event horizon is always sucking in all the interstellar gas near. Plus, with the Scourge, it's kind of cool from a narrative point of view. But back to gameplay. This game, I wouldn't call it quite a bit harder than the other Mass Effects, though definitely playing it on the higher difficulties, you will notice you will die a lot. But I never felt like any of my deaths were cheap. I never felt like, oh, that shouldn't have happened. If I died, I felt it was my fault because I didn't think ahead or I didn't bring the right weapons. And there's a cool thing about gameplay right there. BioWare has introduced a crafting system into this game, and it's where you can create your own weapons and armor, have mods to it. Now, typically, mods only add between 2 and 5% to maybe a weapon's damage or your biotic recharge ability or your shields or max health or whatever. But it is cool in the fact that you can create, say, some really weird weapons. For example, I have a Milky Way Revenant machine gun. So the big machine gun from Mass Effect 2. It fires sticky grenades, but it doesn't use any ammo. Instead, it uses a vintage heat sink from Mass Effect 1, where weapons didn't have ammo. They just overheated. So now I can fire almost sustained for about 30 seconds or more of sticky grenades, dealing about 70 damage per bullet. You do the math. Everything dies. It may take a second, but it dies. I was actually posting on Twitter where it's almost not fair. And I've had my friend Alex, who's going to be a new Twig contributor in the next couple of weeks. He created a sniper rifle that's essentially the Death Star. It deals something like 100 damage per pulse, but it fires like a pinpoint laser, and you can just hold down the fire button until whatever it is you want to basically melts. And I do like there's the depth in the crafting system. If you know how to quote-unquote exploit it, you can do some really, really cool things. One of my other favorite guns is, once again, using the sticky grenade idea, is I have an N7 Eagle, which is an N7 weapon, and it's basically the RoboCop gun, but now it fires explosive bullets. So that's a lot of fun, too. You also have, crafting-wise, you also have three types. You can craft Milky Way weapons, you can craft Helios weapons, which is Ket and N'Garen, or you can craft Remnant, Remnant being the technological race that's left behind, but you never see them. So, but you can craft weapons, armor, and augmentations from these people as well. So that's enough about that. Let's get into graphics. Graphics for this game, the game floats between looking astoundingly beautiful, even on console. It looks amazing on Ultra on the on PC to looking laughably goofy, which, like I said, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room, the facial animations. I picked the default Sarah Ryder because when I had this game, the character creator wasn't online yet, so I had to pick with the default. And my Sarah Ryder looks okay, though I've definitely caught a few more often than not, sadly, derpy faces. And it looks like my character is suffering from some sort of a medical condition, which is rather unfortunate. But I've also come across people whose heads have spun around. I've had people's eyes bulge out of their heads. One of my favorite animation glitches is it was a scene with Petey, who's the Asari. She went into a ragdoll state during a cutscene. And she's looking, hanging there in midair like she's crucified. And just the dialogue's still coming out. The scene is still playing out, but she's just hanging out like there's no skeleton in her body. It was weird, to say the very least. But the ships look cool. The weapons look cool. The bad guys look neat. It just seems like anything human or Asari looks weird. But the Turians look fine. The Krogan look good. The Angarans look good. It just seems to be this is the main problem. It comes down to humans. And even some of the idle animations where you're wandering around the Nexus or the Tempest 2, it seems like there could have been a lot more work done to this game, a little bit more spit and polish. And I'm not the only one alone in thinking this. If this game had been delayed another 6 months, even a year, to ensure the polish we expect from a BioWare game, I would have been okay with that, all things considered. But it is a pretty game when it wants to be, but it also can break the immersion, too, when you see Liam Costa do a crab walk and blitz across the Tempest for no reason. Or have your ship filled with multiple Drax, which I've seen a video of that online. So, I don't know what to say other than between beautiful and stupid, that's Mass Effect Andromeda. Sound. Some of the dialogue in this game is delivered with some real heart. I'm actually a big fan of the female Ryder. It doesn't seem like she takes it too seriously. And that can play out some scenes for better or for worse, but I like her attitude on how she delivers most of her lines, but not everything. A lot of your squad mates are really good, too. A lot of the NPC dialogue seems to be where it gets a little bit weaker, I find, unless they're like a major character in the storyline. My wife pointed this out to me. I kind of wonder if the voice actor for Drac, who's the big Krogan, if that was the guy who played Fatso from the Casper movie in 1995. Go back and listen. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. But musically, I don't feel this game has the same punch as the Jack Wall scores from Mass Effect 1 and 2, or even 3, where it was a bunch of different composers working on it. There are some memorable themes. In fact, every time you level up, you get just a hint of the original Mass Effect theme, which I do think is a nice touch. But I'm not getting the same sense of the elusive man theme from Mass Effect 2. I haven't found an iconic piece of Andromeda music to just kind of latch onto. I felt each game had its own. Mass Effect had their Exploring the Unknown, or whatever the track was called, the Elusive Man from Mass Effect 2, and then Leaving Earth for Mass Effect 3. Andromeda, I find, doesn't have its musical identity together as far as I'm concerned. So, there's that. Speaking about weapon sounds, everything sounds distinct. Everything has a nice kind of punch to it. Haven't found a gun that annoys me yet, so I'm happy about that. Squadmate chatter is amazingly funny. One piece of dialogue I found was between Drac and PB, and each of them have unique bits of dialogue between them. She asks Drac if he's dressing up like a supervillain. He's like, yeah. And she's like, that's so cool. Or there'll be little bits of just funny dialogue and squad banter between people. And I think that's where the game, audio-wise, gets some of its strength. Its idle dialogue can be amazingly funny. In terms of presentation for narrative reasons, I find most of the big cutscenes are delivered, like I said, well. If it's a major character, it seems to work. If it's not a major scene, maybe a little less polish on it, but what are you going to do? So multiplayer / extras for this game. Well, I'm going to sum up the multiplayer for you real easy. You played Mass Effect 3's multiplayer? Here it is. Again. And that's not a bad thing. Although there seems to be more microtransactions-ish, but you can choose what you want, whether you want gears, character, or other things. You can buy Andromeda points to buy more stuff. I actually am not putting as much money into this game as I did with Mass Effect 3. If you know me personally, you know how much ridiculous amounts of Microsoft points I spent on this game. But with Andromeda, you can earn these basically Spectre or Premium packs pretty easily just by playing the multiplayer. You can also play offline. There's a thing called Strike Teams. You can earn rewards that are available in-game. You can earn some more research points. You can earn some stuff for crafting or earn money, which only is available in the single-player campaign. So that's kind of neat. There's a lot of depth to it in terms like your teams can pick up strengths or weaknesses when they do a certain mission, which help affect the success rate. That's how I play the multiplayer, is via strike team. I haven't done a lot of hands-on. I've played maybe 2 or 3 hours with it. I'm just wanting to finish the main storyline, so that's why I haven't put a lot of time into it. But it is essentially Mass Effect 3's multiplayer horde mode, and that's not a bad thing. I'm rather glad they brought that over. Extras. I got the digital collector's edition for this game from EA, and the version I got gave me some pre-order armor, some bonuses, and I get a free Spectre pack basically every week that the game's out, so I don't have to buy any for 20 weeks, so that's kind of nice to get all the super rares right away. There was a collector's edition for this game that came with the Nomad, which is the vehicle you drive around. I didn't talk about that because it's the Mako 2.0, but a little less stupid. But you didn't get a copy of the game. You just got the car, but you got a steel case for the game. So if you wanted the collector's edition and the game, it was going to cost you a pretty penny. This is the one special edition for Mass Effect I opted not to get the collector's edition for. So if I see the Nomad cheap at some point in the future, maybe. But I'm not spending $200 on a remote control car that's just going to sit there and gather dust. So what are my final thoughts on Mass Effect Andromeda? Well, you almost lost me at hour 15. There was a time where I was just saying, you know what, I don't care enough. But I'm glad that I stuck it through. Is this a perfect Mass Effect game? No. Is it some of the best of combat the series has ever seen? Absolutely. Storytelling-wise, it's kind of weak, but it's interesting to see how it all plays out. It eventually hooks you in to the point you're thinking, well, I put this many hours in. Let's see what's going to happen next. And that's where this game falls for me. At first, it was a 6 out of 10 for me. But after putting over 90 hours into it, I'm going to say it's a safe 7 out of 10 for me. Because I do like the combat, I like the characters, but I think the story could use a lot of work. And if this is laying the foundation for a future trilogy, and I hope it is, I hope it's not Ryder's story 2.0. I want to see a different thing, because somebody brought up in a YouTube video, and I think this is a really good point, you start the game playing as a Pathfinder. That means the possibility for you to play as other races Pathfinder could have really worked things. It would have just been a matter of swapping character models and changing around a few things. The storyline could have worked with a few variables plugged in. If you've been playing as a Salarian or a Turian or an Asari, that could have added some whole new depth to the narrative experience. So it is worth picking up, but I'm going to say maybe wait for a price drop or wait until things get patched out. It might also be noting, I would expect there to be DLC for this game down the road, as there are some points in the game where you're thinking, well, I haven't fought that yet, so that makes sense. So we'll see what happens. So guys, that is my final transmission from the Milky Way galaxy, at least on Rad for a little while. I'm sure I'll review probably Injustice 2 when that comes out next month. But I hope to be back on Twig full-time, like I said, probably closer to the summer. But I'll be making appearances on Geekcast Radio. I'll be doing stuff here on Twig. And like I said, guys, don't forget to enter the contest for the G810 Orion Spectrum keyboard from Logitech. Like I said, real simple. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. 140 characters or less. Why do you love Mass Effect? And Logitech will ship you one of these keyboards when we pick a winner in just a couple of weeks. So, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this has been my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'll see you guys again next time.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.